欢迎各位听众回到图霄澳洲中文广播电台。在这一期节目里面，我们邀请到了新南威尔士州议会 Ride选区州议员 Jordan Lane 来到我们的节目当中。 Jordan 议员您好。
So to start off, could you briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
那么一开始能不能请您向我们的听众简单介绍一下您自己？
Sure. So I'm Jordan Lane. I'm the State MP for Ryde in the New South Wales Parliament and the Shadow Assistant Minister for Transport and Roads, Infrastructure and Multiculturalism. It's very appropriate that I'm talking to you today.
当然可以，我是Jordan Lane, 现任新南威尔士州议会 Ryde选区的州议员, 同时担任影子助理部长，负责交通、道路、基础建设及多元文化事务。 今天能与你们的访谈非常合适。其实我之前也参加过很多华人社区的活动，很开心能来到你们的中文广播电台。So,
what inspired you to pursue a career in politics, actually?
那么是什么原因让您决定踏入政坛呢？
So, I am a lifelong local of Ryde. I was born at Ryde Hospital, grew up in the community, had enormous privilege to meet the community, play in the local sports clubs, go to great schools, and, you know, it gave me a lot. And I think that sparked for me an interest in wanting to give back to community. And I got very fortunate along the way. I was supported by a lot of great people in the community. My predecessor, Victor Dominello, some of your listeners would know, supported me, gave me work experience as a kid at school. And I think when the opportunity arose to put my hand up and get involved in public office, there were a lot of people there to support me and encourage me to do that. And the great thing now is that whilst it is work, it never feels like work. It's very vocational, being able to be at events, support community, problem solve, and try and fight for better resources for our fast-growing area. So I've been very fortunate and really enjoying what I'm doing, but it always comes back to that local community who was so supportive at the start.
我从小就是Ryde人, 出生在Ryde医院, 在这个社区里长大，有机会认识很多人, 参加当地运动俱乐部, 就读很好的学校, 这一切给了我很多, 也激发了我想要回馈社区的心。 一路上我非常幸运, 有许多很棒的人支持我, 包括我的前任Victor Dominello, 他甚至在我还是学生时就让我到他的办公室实习。 所以当有机会同入公职时，很多人都在鼓励我。现在虽然说是工作，但它从不只是工作，对我来说更像是一种使命。能参加各种活动，支持社区，帮助解决问题，争取更多资源，对于我们这个快速成长的地区非常重要。而这一切都回到当初给予我支持的社区。So,
what led you to join the Liberal Party?
是什么原因让您选择加入自由党？
I grew up in a small business family. So my dad's a tradesman, my mum runs a small manufacturing business, and for them growing up, decisions of government affected my household. If government was going to be tough on business, then my family didn't have as much money and wasn't as comfortable. So I think for me, that sparked an early interest in the difference between the big parties when it came to policy, because the Liberal Party has typically been better at supporting small businesses. As I grew up and started to form my own views about the world and politics, I think that I was affirmed by the party being one that is at its core for all Australians. So it doesn't try to define itself by a region. Some parties like the National Party, our friends do that, they're for the country. It's not a single issue party like the Shooters or the Greens who focus on one or two issues. And it's not a party of a vested interest such as the trade union movement like Labor is. It's a party at its core that's for everybody. Doesn't mean it gets everything right all the time, and part of my job as an MP is to try and make the party more modern and reflective of a modern Australia. But at its core, I resonated a lot with that focus on being for everybody and being there to support individuals and their aspirations. So that's why I joined, but it doesn't mean I take everything they say and accept it. I also try and influence it in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. 我在一个小生意家庭长大，爸爸是技工， 妈妈经营一家小型制造企业，从小家里的经济情况直接受到政府政策影响。如果政府对企业不友善，我们家的收入就会减少，生活会比较紧张。这让我很早开始注意不同政党如何影响政策。 自由党通常对中小企业的支持较多，随着年纪的增长，我逐渐形成自己的世界观与政治观，发现自由党的理念与我的信念一致，这是一个为所有澳洲人服务的政党，不会像国家党那样只专注乡村地区。 也不是像绿党或枪党那样只聚焦一两个议题，更不像工党与工会有固定的既得利益关系。当然，自由党不可能每次都完全正确。作为议员，我的工作之一就是在必要时候监督他、提醒他。但我始终认为他的核心价值观与我自小在家中所学的是相符的。
Yes, because we know that before you become an MP, before you were mayor of the City of Ryde, which is the youngest mayor of the City of Ryde. How has that experience helped you to being as a role of state member?
那么在成为州议员之前，您还曾是 Ryde市最年轻的市长。那段经历对您现在的工作有什么帮助呢？
Really valuable. So being a young councillor and a young mayor in particular was very helpful because for the first time we were starting to focus on things that the council had never thought of before. A great example is just moving towards remote work and working from home. So I had the privilege after COVID of coming into that role where I had a leadership role and was able to say to the organisation, we need to be more modern for young working parents, for people who might have extracurricular activities, for those who might not feel safe, you know, going to the office at that time. And we really modernised and embraced technology in a way that still exists today. So now, even though COVID's long gone, the council can still meet remotely. A lot of the staff are able to work from home or in a hybrid setting, which means the council spends less money on rent and overheads and things like that. So it's been really effective in terms of bringing that new youthful generation. But the experience also of leading a big organisation with a lot of staff, a very big budget, has meant that in my current role, I'm able to advocate, I think, in a more targeted way, know how the system works so we're more successful in getting the things we're advocating for. And also, it's helped build important relationships. A vast majority of the things people raise with me as a state MP has some involvement with council. So having had some experience there means I can more effectively get things done.
Mm-hmm. 作为年轻的市议员，之后又成为年轻的市长， 这段经历非常宝贵，因为那是我们第一次开始专注于以往市政府没太重视的议题。很好的例子就是在疫情之后推动远端工作与弹性办公室安排。我能对市政组织说，我们需要为年轻在职家长提供更现代化的工作选择。我们积极拥抱科技， 所以即使疫情早已过去，市政会仍会举行线上会议，职员也可以在家工作或采取混合办公模式，带领一个拥有大量员工和庞大预算的组织的经历，使我现在作为州议员时能更有效地发生。我了解地方政府如何运作，当选民带着涉及市府的问题来找我时，我更能熟悉地在体制内推动取得成果。
So as you mentioned that you were born and raised in the local city of Ryde, so can you tell us more about your thoughts on your electorate about Ryde?
可以跟我们分享一下您所代表的选区，也就是 Ryde这个地区吗？
Well, I love Ryde. I wear this little pin. I don't know if you can see that everywhere I go because it's a reminder of everything that it's given to me and just the great community that it is. If I could capture it maybe in a few words, it's diverse, it's a compassionate community, and it's an ambitious and aspirational community. So there are literally people from every corner of the globe that call Ryde home. It's an immensely safe or relatively safe community compared to a lot of other parts of Sydney. Can always be better, but relatively speaking, great local schools, a university, which is very rare for a suburban electorate to have a university. Most of the universities are located in CBDs. We have an enormous business park, Macquarie Park, which is the sixth largest GDP producing centre in the country today and will be the fourth largest by the end of the decade. So that's creating big employment opportunities for the area. And it's well connected. We've got reasonably good public transport. We're not too far from the city, but you can still get that suburban feel. So you bring all that together and you could literally be in any part of the world doing anything you want with your life. And I think that is what makes it such an attractive place, that anyone can feel home and anyone can find something that connects with them locally and Ryde.
我非常热爱Ride，我甚至还带着一个小徽章，这是提醒我这个社区给予我多少，以及它是这么棒的社区。 Ride是一个非常多元、富有同理心、充满雄心与抱负的地方， 来自世界各地的人都把Ride当成家。 这里也是一个相对安全的社区，有优秀的当地学校、一所大学以及庞大的商业园区。 其实现在是全澳洲第六大GDP产值中心， 预计在这10年结束前会成为第四大，这代表着大量的就业机会。 那同时呢，交通也很便利，我们拥有相当不错的大众运输，离市中心也不远，但仍能保有郊区的生活感。 那这一切呢，都让Ride成为一个非常吸引人居住的地方， 任何人都可以在这里找到让自己觉得像家的食物。
Among the Ride area, what are some key concerns or you have seen in the community have raised and talked to you before?
您所在的选区的居民目前最关注的议题有哪些呢？
So, as I mentioned, all those great things that make it an attractive place to live also means that it's a very fast-growing place. And probably the number one issue that people will raise with me are concerns around getting around, so traffic, roads being full, not being able to find enough parking, not building enough infrastructure to keep up with the growth. And that might be in terms of hospitals, local schools, more public transport services, open spaces are a really important thing. And so it's about getting the balance between doing what we've been very good at, which is building more housing for, you know, new generations and future generations of people, but making sure that that's accompanied by the infrastructure so that the growth is sustainable. You don't want to create all this new housing that no one wants to live in or that upsets your existing community. You want to be able to take everyone on the journey. So that's probably the biggest issue on top of the issues that I know affect everybody in Sydney, like housing affordability, cost of living, and, you know, general concerns and anxieties about the world at the moment. But on a local level, that rings true most days because it's what people experience. They drive out their driveway and it's tough to get a spot. That bothers them. They drive into potholes, that bothers them. They've got kids who can't kick a ball around at the weekend, that bothers them. So making sure we are thinking about those things and investing in those things is probably the thing that occupies most of my time.
Mm-hmm. 因为Ride是个那么吸引人的居住地， 所以它的发展速度也非常快。大概居民最常提出的就是关于交通的问题，道路拥挤，车子太多，停车位不足，以及基础设施建设跟不上人口增长的速度，这包括医院、当地学校以及更多公共运输服务和很重要的开放空间。 那关键呢，就是要取得平衡，既能容纳新贷和未来的发展，也要确保有足够的基础设施，让成长是可持续的。我们不希望盖一堆没有人想住的房子，或破坏既有社区。所以这大概是最主要的在地议题。除此之外呢，当然还有悉尼整体面临的房价负担、生活成本，以及现在全球局势带来的一般性焦虑。
As you mentioned, the housing issues, which is the most pressing issue in Sydney, also around Australia right now, nowadays. So how was your thought of how to fixing the housing issue in the Sydney, especially in the Ride area?
您怎么看待悉尼，特别是Ride地区的住房问题呢? 您认为该如何解决?
So one of the things that a lot of governments have done is spend lots of time and lots of policies on trying to subsidise existing demand rather than incentivise new supply. It's really important that you have new supply because new supply means that you're actually expanding the availability of options, not just increasing the competitiveness of the existing options. However, it's not just about building more numbers for numbers' sake. You also have to have diversity of housing. You can't build one type of, say, two-bedroom apartments and expect that to cater for everybody in your community. People with children, with larger families are going to look for something bigger, and so you have to make sure you're building that type of housing as well. So a housing diversity policy, I think, is important. Policies that incentivise infrastructure, as I was talking about earlier, there's no use building up all of this housing if nobody wants to live there. So they have to be able to get to work, get to school, know that if they get sick, there's a hospital that can take them in. So that means building the infrastructure alongside the housing so that it's sustainable growth. And then I also think it's about trying to find policies that incentivize that supply quite directly. So if it means that we can more efficiently get people into the existing home, so where there are vacant properties, if we can make that less attractive so that people who own those properties might be more inclined to rent them out, that gets people into the market right now and doesn't require us to wait 2 years for something new to be built. So taking all of those policies together, you can try and make an inroad in this problem. But anybody who tells you it's a simple solution, there's one solution, doesn't know what they're talking about. It's much more complicated. And I think it's time that government speaks honestly with the community that it is a long-term solution. It does require strategic policy. And we're not going to try and suggest there's one silver bullet. There simply isn't. And that's what I've spent a lot of time trying to fight for in Ryde. And, you know, if it was as simple as just building more, Ryde would have fixed it. We've got tens of thousands of new homes built in the last few years, tens of thousands more coming in the next few years. It's still never been more expensive. So clearly it's more complicated. And I guess that's my message to government. Be honest, it is complicated, and think longer term than, you know, just trying to do some short-term policies.
很多政府花了大量时间与政策资源，主要是补贴现有的需求，而不是去刺激新的供应。其实增加新供应非常重要，因为那样才能真正的扩大选择，而不是只是在既有房源上抢来抢去。但这不只是数字的问题，还必须有住房的多样性。你不能只盖一种两房公寓，然后期待所有人都能够接受。那有小孩的家庭呢，也会需要更大的空间，所以我们需要支持住房多样化的政策，同时呢，也要在新建房屋的同时带动基础设施。如果没有办法上班、上学，或附近没有医院，那就算盖了一堆房子，也没有人会想住。所谓可持续的成长呢，就是基础设施与住房要同步进行。我们还需要一些直接鼓励房主摆闲置的房产释出的政策，让人们可以现在就住进去，而不是等到两年之后新房才完工。不过任何告诉你很简单就能解决的人都其实不懂这个问题，这是一个复杂需要长期规划的问题。那政府呢，也应该诚实地面对社会，而不是假装有什么灵丹妙药。
Yeah, infrastructure is really a good point for not only building housing, but also with infrastructure is already like satisfy the need of the community as well. So talking about infrastructure, we know that the metro, which is transport, has been operating for nearly a year already. They are like connecting the northwest of the Sydney part to the central CBD. So how do you feel about this metro has contributed to the development of the Ryde area?
您怎么看待 Ryde 的地铁及交通呢？
In a really big way. So the metro where I'm located runs through Macquarie University, Macquarie Park and North Ryde. So that captures a whole lot of people that live in that Macquarie Park part of my electorate. It's also servicing the business park, which I mentioned is a huge place for economic opportunity, and the university where there's students coming to my electorate from all over the state. So it's had a big impact on moving people around. But I would say that with the pace of growth that we've had, it's just keeping pace. It's not necessarily making it better or reducing the commute times. It's just keeping pace. So it's really important if government's going to continue to push, you know, new housing into communities that they're doubling down on investments in things like metro. I've been really concerned to hear that they're trying to delay the commencement of new metros to something like 2040. That is way too long in my view. We need them now. They take years to build. So suggesting that you won't start until 2040 is basically saying that what we've got now is good enough, and I just don't accept that that's the case. So that's something that I'm spending time fighting for. But using my example of the metro that we've got as evidence that it does work, because we've been able to accommodate a lot of new people, but you know, that sort of thing has to continue. So very positive, but a lot more to do, and a lot more to do very quickly, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
Metro 地铁对 Ryde 的帮助非常大。这条线经过了 Macquarie Park, 连接了 Macquarie 大学和整个商业园区。它带来了许多的经济机会，也让来自全新州的学生更容易来到这里上学。所以在人流移动方面呢，也产生了很大的影响。但以我们这里的成长速度来说， Metro 基本上是只跟得上需求，并不一定有缩短通勤时间，这也是为什么我们需要持续投资像 Metro 这样的项目。 那整体来说呢，是非常正面的，但仍有很多问题需要继续的努力。
So part of the transportation, do you think the current infrastructure and the facilities are sufficient to meet the needs among the local communities?
您认为现在的基础设施与公共交通足够满足当地的社区需求吗？
No, not even close. I think they need to do a lot more. And it's not just Metro. You know, the T9 Northern Line is the train line that services Eastwood and Denniston, West Ryde, Meadowbank that all run through my electorate. It was rated equal worst in terms of punctuality and reliability of services. So that is a really poor outcome for people in my electorate. And I've been working with the community to try and persuade government that they need to make decisions now that fix those issues. Because if you want people to catch public transport, they need to know it's going to show up and it's going to be on time. Same goes for buses. Not everyone lives near a train station. There needs to be investment in buses. Same for ferries. So public transport is probably the closest thing we have to a silver bullet to resolving congestion issues in communities like Ryde. But that means really spending big and recognising that that isn't just an expense on the government balance sheet, but it's an investment that will create enormous productivity, it will create enormous well-being benefits, and it will reduce emissions and ensure that people can continue to afford to live and get around a really busy place like Sydney.
Mm-hmm. 完全不够，甚至差得很远。政府还需要做很多的努力，这不只是Metro的问题，那例如呢，服务 Eastwood Denniston, West Ryde 和 Meadowbank 的 T9 Northern Line 就被评为全悉尼最不准时、最不可靠的路线之一。这对我选区的居民来说是非常糟糕的结果。我也一直与社区合作，推动政府现在就做出决定，解决这些问题。那因为如果你希望人们搭公共交通，必须 要可靠，要准时，那这也对巴士和渡轮是一样的。公共交通呢，可能是我们解决交通拥挤问题最接近的灵丹妙药的办法，但是呢，我们必须要大手笔的去投资它，并视它为一种投资，因为它能带来生产力、社会福祉，并降低我们的碳排放。
So in the light of a recent incident at East Garten, we're talking about the multicultural part. What are your thoughts on youth crime in Australia, particularly when it involves racism, like motivation attacks?
针对最近在 East Garten 发生的事件，您如何看待澳洲的青少年犯罪问题，特别是涉及种族动机的攻击？
Well, I should say on that specific example of East Gardens that I was appalled, disgusted by what I saw, and so much so I actually moved a formal motion in the parliament calling on the government to recognise and take action in response to it. I don't think anybody should be subjected to that kind of behaviour in a place like Australia, no matter where they're from. But given that it is racially motivated, just adds another whole layer of cynicism to it. One of the great things, as I said earlier in this interview, about communities like mine is that we have people from all over the world living in the one place. That means you're getting better ideas, you're getting greater diversity of thoughts and beliefs, you're getting a much more vibrant, dynamic community. That is undermined when people choose to disrespect that in such a heinous and blatant way as those young people did. And I really hope that a very strong message is sent to them individually so that nobody ever does that again. But more broadly on youth crime, I would say that that was a disgraceful act, but this is not a new concept. This has been happening in communities, even regional communities, for a long time, and a lot of my colleagues that live in country areas are raising similar issues as well. Not always racially motivated, but clearly something is going wrong with enough young people in the community that they feel that it is okay to treat somebody like that in a public place, or in any place, but particularly in a public place. So I think we need to be focusing a lot more on how we, obviously education for young people, trying to engage them more in extracurricular activities so that when school's out, they're not just loitering around in the streets, trying to create opportunities for government to use its schools and its existing structures to encourage people into learning sport, learning language, better understanding of culture so they don't feel that they can disrespect it so brazenly. I think that kind of early intervention is essential to reduce disgraceful acts like that, but also I think to create a better society and a more sort of global and outward-looking community as well.
Yeah.
我对 East Garden 发生的事情感到非常震惊，严重到我在州议会中提出了正式的动议，要求政府正视并采取行动。没有人应该在澳洲任何地方遭受那样的行为。像我所代表的 Red 社区，有来自世界各地的人一起生活，这带来更多的好点子，多元的思维，也让社区充满活力与动态。但当有人那样公然的不尊重，就像那些年轻人所做的，真的是可耻至极。我希望能传递一个非常强烈的讯息，让没有人再敢那么做。不过从更广泛的来看，青少年犯罪并不是一个新的问题，即使是在偏远地区也一直发生。那许多的乡村选区的同僚呢，也提到过了类似的问题，不见得都与种族有关，但也很明显，如果有青少年觉得那样对待别人也无所谓，那一定是出现了什么问题。那早期的介入是非常重要的，我们需要透过课外活动来吸引他们，善用我们的学校去推广体育、语言及文化理解，让他们不会长大后以为可以如此公然的不尊重别人。这不只是为了减少类似可耻行为，更是为了打造一个更好、更有国际视野的社会。
We heard that it's a really complicated issue as well, not only putting them into jail, but also we need a really long-term thoughts and issue to make a solution for
yeah,
this one.
Absolutely.
Yep. So to conclude, do you have anything you'd like to add to talk to our audience?
最后，您还有什么话想要对我们的听众说的吗？
No, I would only say that if you haven't been to Ryde and you haven't come and seen great places like Eastwood, you need to. I'm sure you've all heard of it. And, you know, it really relies on people being a part of it and engaging. And as a local MP, I am so proud and privileged to be able to represent a part of the community like that. But, you know, I also need people to engage with it and continue to invest in it and make it good. So if we all work together, we can continue to have a great, diverse community and one that's welcoming of all people. So...Thank you.
如果你们还没有来过 Ryde 或者像 Eastwood 那样棒的地方，真的该来看一看。这是一个非常美好多元的社区，我能代表这里感到非常的骄傲。但要让 Ryde 一直这么好，就需要人们投入到其中，参与其中，继续投资于它。如果我们大家一起努力，就能打造一个对所有人都友善的社区。
Thank you very much, Jordan. We hope to see you in the right area and also a lot of Chinese events.
非常感谢 Jordan Lane 议员。那希望之后呢，也能在更多的华人社区活动里面看到您。
Absolutely, I'll be there. Take care.
Thank you.
当然，我一定会参加的。谢谢你们。